Blog Talk Radio. The song said that God is sovereign. Oh, that's one of the fundamentals of the gospel of the Holy Bible, that you must realize that God is sovereign. Good evening, everyone. This is Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God. God has given us this opportunity where we could come together as the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith, when we could come together to explore the Word of God. The Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we all study to show ourselves approved as workmen, need not being ashamed of the Word, to rightly divide the Word of truth. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It is a time where we come together and do what 2 Timothy 3:15 asks us to do, to grow in the grace and receive the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God gave us his word as instructions, a moral compass for daily living. Hallelujah. And that's where our success is. I want to tell you tonight, studying the Word of God doesn't make God no better God, or makes him a stronger God or a wiser God. Studying the Word of God does those things for you. The more you want, the more you should seek and find. The more you need, knock and the door shall be open. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Our scripture tonight is in the book of Hosea, the 4th chapter, verses 1-10. And the message of our study tonight is spiritual and physical adultery is sin. Spiritual, physical adultery is sin. At this time, I'm going to call Sister Pam, our intercessor, and she's going to bring us to the throne of grace where mercy can be found. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. I will bless the Lord at all times, for his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth. Thanking you, Father God, tonight for life. Thanking you, O Lord, for allowing us to see a brand new day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for another one for my Bible study, Lord. I ask that you continue to bless our Bible study and everybody that calls in on the cell, on their phone lines, and on the internet. Father God, we thank you for our sister in Christ, our teacher, our prayer warrior, Minister Diane Adams, a servant of God. Keep affording her, Lord, the opportunity to bring forth your word each and every Wednesday night, plain and simple. Lord, we thank you for our Bible study. I thank you, Lord, for your love. Father God, I ask that you give us the heart, to love one another as you love us. I pray this prayer in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen, and hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your faithfulness week after week after week. And not just on Wednesday. I know you prayed for this Bible study and the prayer request that has gone up on daily basis. And that God honors it. And I thank you. Because it's a good thing when somebody prays for you. Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't feel like praying for yourself. Sometimes you don't feel like you have the strength to pray, or you don't know what to pray for. You feel you done said it over and over again. What is the purpose? But prayer is the keys that unlock the doors. Prayer is us communicating with God. Tonight we're going to study the Bible, and God is going to communicate to us through his word, because it's all about a relationship and intimacy. When we get on this line on Wednesday night, we become intimate with God as we listen and as I teach. And as some of you press the buttons and give comments and listen to the song, we fellowship in one with another, and God honors it. So again, I'd say the lesson tonight is spiritual and physical adultery of sin. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Hosea and stop at the fourth chapter, and we're going to expound on some of the verses in that chapter. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background. You see, spiritual adultery is unfaithfulness to God. Anytime you're unfaithful to God, you're like committing adultery against him. It is having an undue fondness for the things of the world. Spiritual adultery is an analogy to physical adultery with the unfaithfulness of one's spouse. But like a woman faithless to her lover, even so you have been faithless unto me, O house of Israel. See, God told us that about that spiritual, hallelujah, adultery in Jeremiah 3:20. You see, the Bible tells us that people who choose to be friends with the world are an adulterous people. Hallelujah. Having entity against God. You see, the world here is the system of evil under Satan's control, the lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, and the pride of life. You see, there's two standards going on. The world standards and God's standards. That's why we are told we're in this world, but we're not of this world. God has provided a kingdom here on earth for the believer. It's a realm, a spiritual realm. It's a spiritual mindset. It's a spiritual conduct. It's a spiritual desire to do what's right because it's the right thing to do. But the world system, deceitful, full of schemes and phony values. The world system, if you really evaluate it, is worthless pursuit. Get rich quick. Trying to have it all, doing anything and everything to pursue it. It's worthless pursuits and unnatural affection. It is designed to lure us away from the pure relationship with God. Well, if we say that, we can see that spiritual adultery then is the forsaking of God's love and the embracing of the world's values and desires. Spiritual adultery. And I took time to put this in our study tonight because many times you may be reading the Bible and it talks about adultery or an adulterous relationship or somebody committing adultery against God. It's not always speaking about a husband and a wife. So I wanted you to know sometime when the Bible speaks about adultery, it sometimes is talking about spiritual adultery. You see, God first started talking to Hosea. Hosea is our writer of the scriptures we're going to expound on tonight. Hosea is one of God's prophets. Hosea is the first of the 12 minor prophets that have writing in the book of God. Hosea, God used to bring his people a word. When we first see God talking to Hosea. It was in the first chapter of the book of Hosea in verses 2 and 3. The beginning of the word by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredom. Many of y'all know this story, and for those who don't, I hope it perked you to go and get some more information. He said, go and take unto thee a wife of whoredom and children of whoredom, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he said, so he went and took Gomer. Hosea went and took Gomer, the daughter of Delibon, which conceived and bared him a son. I want you to know tonight that really Gomer was considered a lady of leisure. She in those days was considered to be a prostitute. Now, after saying that, you see the word of God, what God told Gomer, and he told him who to get. God knew who she was, and maybe she wasn't that way at that time, but God being all-knowing, knowing that that's the way she would go, but yet he sent the man of God to take her as his wife. You see the song that played tonight, that God is sovereign. I want you to take God out of a box. You know, we have to say God's got to do it this way, or God has done it this way, or God will do it this way. God will do it any kind of way he wants. He will ask us to do anything he wants. And we see here tonight, he asked Gomer to do something. Hosea to take Gomer, and it seemed against the grade. Many people may say, you know, God say when they tell you to get a wife, that you should be evenly yoked and, you know, and all of these great things. But God told him to go get Gomer because God had a purpose and God has a master plan. So we don't always know why, but if God said it, we must do. So he went and got Gomer, the daughter, which conceived him a son. I know that Hosea must have wondered why God would ask him to do such a thing. Yes, he might have pondered, he might have wondered, but he obeyed. You see, Gomer went on to give him 3 children. And I could imagine if Hosea had to wonder if all of them was his children. Because of her ways, because of her actions, because of her character. They didn't have DNA tests then. But Jose wondered, I'm sure, if all the kids were his. You see, the most controversial element of this story is that Jose's children were pulled into the elaborate picture in which Gomer represented the Israelites and their spiritual adultery. Okay, so let me stop right here. God used Hosea, had him to marry Gomer. Gomer was very adulterous. That's a fact. And she had the children. God was making an analogy. You know how Jesus, when he walked, he gave us parables. And he used things that we were familiar with, that we could get the true meaning of what it was. You have to realize tonight, God, being the sovereign God that he is, told Hosea to marry Gomer because he wanted to show the people what they were doing to him in the spiritual. He gave them a picture in the physical that they could compare and see for themselves. God commanded Hosea to name his children, and that each child name reflected how the people rejected God. You see, this question has been asked over and over again. And I hope we could clear it up or you could understand. First of all, you could ask any question you want. And it could be sensible. But you have to remember that God has the last word. And what he do is perfect. So because it may not seem right or lined up with what you think, it doesn't mean that it's wrong because it's God. Why would God command such a thing? Why would God command Jose and his family into such a painful situation? The man, I'll figure like this. The main answer can be summed up in a phrase. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Hosea's prophecy gave Israel a tangible example of his spiritual idolatry, yet portrayed God's love for Israel despite her spiritual infidelity. God used everything he created to help us to be all that he wants us to be. God wrote 66 Bibles to give us examples, analogies, parables, showed us how he worked with the people for us to realize he worked for us. And he used imagery to show us things. And this is one of them. You see, Hosea wrote this book to remind the Israelites and us that God is loving and loyal to his covenant people. Unwavering, y'all. Despite Israel continually turning to false gods, God's steadfast love is betrayed in the long suffering husband of an unfaithful wife. I don't know if any of you were married and your spouse committed adultery. You know, it didn't feel good. You may have asked, why are they doing this to me? Why did they marry me? God saying those same feelings and emotions he have when we commit spiritual adultery against him. Hosea's message is also a warning to those who would turn their backs on God's love. Through this symbolic presentation of a marriage of Hosea and Gomer, God's love for the adulterous nation of Israel is displayed in a rich metaphor in the theme of sin, judgment, and forgiveness. See, even though they turned their backs on God, God was waiting for them with open arms. This ain't the only depiction that God talks about his people wandering and walking away and choosing out of God. It's many times it has happened. God, Jesus Christ, gave us the parable of the prodigal son who left the father, went out and did his thing, turned his back on his father and God, his heavenly father. And when he hit rock bottom, he came back, but his dad was waiting for him with loving arms. God is saying tonight, even though Gomer went out, not one time, many times, he told Gomer, take her back. Like the father and the prodigal son took his son back. Near the end of Hosea's ministry, the Israelites were a single generation away from destruction. See, God pumped up the volume and he used this to try to get them on track. You see, the Assyrians would wipe out the northern kingdom and drag most of its residents into captivity. Therefore, Hosea's marriage was one of God's final attempts to warn the Israelites about the coming consequences of their actions. It had to be something outlandish and attention-grabbing because of the situation. In other words, what we need to remember is that Hosea's marriage was not an attempt to punish Hosea or his children. Instead, it was a final effort to save God's people from a terrible fate. God's will, y'all. Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea. She not only cheated on him, but straight out left him to be with someone else. In fact, most scholars believe that Gomer left Hosea home to return to her betrothal. That's her previous man. She wanted to go back to her old way of life and her old means of earning a living. The sad truth is that Hosea was forced to buy her back from the man she was with. Hosea had to pay 15 pieces of silver, and for her, a omer of barley and a half of barley. You see, usually the common price paid for a slave was 30 pieces of silver. But at that time, you know how they paid for slaves? They look at them, look at their mouth, know if they could read and education. But Gomer had sunk to such a low that she was worth only half the price of a common slave. How you like that? And Gomer had to buy her back because she had became someone else's property. We do not know if Gomer was desperate to find his wife once again and reclaim her out of compassion of love. We do know that God used Gomer's unfaithfulness as a way of pointing out the condemning and continuous spiritual adultery of the Israelites time and time again. However, the Israelites turned their back on their relationship with God. They rejected God. They returned to the idol gods, to faith God, yet God was always waiting for them when open arms. God loved them despite of and not because of. And that's the same way he loves us. Anybody who know about the Old Testament, wandering in the wilderness, the Israelites were God's chosen people. We got to say that first of all. They were his covenant people. And they often erred in their ways against God. And whenever God would come and say judgment and wrath would fall upon him, God punished them several times with captivity. The Babylonians, the Palestinians, the Assyrians. But he always told them, repent. He always say, I'm waiting for you with open arms. And that's how God does with us. He don't throw us away. We are his covenant people. So if we go into the word in Hosea the 4th chapter, I'm going to start at the first verse. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth. Look what he's telling them. There's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, lying, killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, spiritual as well as physical. They break out, and blood touches blood. That's people killing people, innocent blood. Like these boys killing these people on the street, and the stray bullets go and hit the lady in our house. That's blood on blood. Innocent blood. But that's what they were doing. Verse 3. Therefore shall a land more, and everyone that dwell therein shall linquish with the beasts of the field, with the fowl of the heaven, ye and the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. God said, if you keep it up, you're going to go down. Not just you, your land, your beast. You know, you messing up everything like Adam did in the Garden of Eden when sin entered the world, even the land was cursed. Come on, y'all. The land was cursed. It starts growing weeds and thistles. Sin, verse 4. Yet let no man strive nor reproach another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shall thy fall in the day, and the prophet shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy your mother. God said, listen up, keep doing what you're doing. God always told his people, you can respect God for that. And just like God used these scriptures and we read them tonight, he's telling Israel, the Israelites about their ill ways. God tell us that as well in the word of God. God told us if we do this, we'll get this, good or bad. You're going to sow what you're going to reap. That's consequences for your sins. So this is not new, what I'm saying. It just was the message Jose gave to the Israelites at that time, but everything in the word of God is for us too. You see, the book of Hosea is a prophetic accounting of God's relentless love for his children. Since the beginning of time, God's ungrateful and undeserving creation has been accepting God's love, grace, and mercy while still unable to refrain from our wickedness. You see, if you go back and maybe you weren't familiar with the book of Hosea and you begin to read the first three chapters, you're going to see about Gomer and how God sent Hosea to select her. But in the first three chapters, God described in a great detail the way of an adulterous wife, which would be the physical adultery. But here in this fourth chapter, the focus of the book changed. It shifted from Gomer to the unfaithful adulterous wife to the children of Israel. See, he told us in 1, 2, and 3 and showed us a physical adultery. And now he's shifting to the spiritual adultery. Look what he says. God chastened Israel for breaking 5 of the 10 commandments in his birth. Now, when you say that, I don't know if you paid attention, but look what he told them, and I'm going to go back in verse 2. He said, by swearing, 1, lying, 2, killing, 3, stealing, 4, and committing adultery, 5. That's 5 of the 10 commandments. When people are out of the will of God, they commit all these things and many more. You see, people start leaning to their own understanding and doing things that seem right in their own eyes. The land spoken is a perfect description of our land today. Isn't this going on in our world? Lying, cheating, stealing, committing adultery. Come on, y'all. And God spoke of 5 here. We probably could cover all 10, not putting God before, not putting nothing before God, using a glorious name in vain. Come on, y'all. Coveting thy wife, coveting thy neighbor's good, not honoring thy mother and father. We done reached the 10 mark. God took time and listed 5 here. But if the Bible was still being written for the day, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You see, people are at odds with God, and they are disobedient to his word. Truth and mercy are both God's gift to mankind. and the knowledge of the word of God for our lives was far from them. They was doing anything they was big and bad enough to do. That's going on today. That's why in the book of the Bible, they talks about there's nothing new under the sun. You see, the scriptures are saying nothing will be exempt. God said, I'm a mess up your land. Our land messed up. They talk about the erosion in the water. Come on, y'all. They talk about global warming. Many times the land just be by somebody's house and they got a sinkhole, a whole caulker go into. The land. Nothing will be exempt. The land, the beast, the fowl, the fishes, the priests, and their children and their mothers will be destroyed. You see, when we do disobedience and we decide to sin, it doesn't just stop with us many times. And even if it don't physically affect the other person, it could affect them mentally, psychologically, you know. So we just have to be careful and try to just press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, Christ Jesus. We're going to go to verse 6 through 10 at this time. God says in verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I know many of you know that verse. Tonight you can write down that is in the book of Hosea in the 4th chapter in the 6th verse. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shall be no priest to me. God said, priest, I'm going to remove you. Even in our world today, God saying, men and women of God, you're not doing and walking by my way. I could remove you. He said, thou shall be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. You know how many preachers God done took down, men of God? Look at the Catholic priests, y'all. The scriptures say priests, so if we want to use the title priest where it's used in the Catholic Church. And they came tumbling down. Sin. Spiritual idolatry. And look what he said. They have forgotten my word. They know in the word they have no business doing what they're supposed to do. And I ain't going to talk about one thing or one person. I could talk about me. I know many things that the word of God is saying. And yes, I press and I pray that God circumcised my heart. But I know for a fact that there's many things that I know that is right to do that I haven't been able to achieve them yet. In other words, I stand before you. I believe in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but I haven't been able to achieve it. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as we go down, but I'm going to finish the scripture now. So he was talking about the priests. They set their hearts into their iniquity. And he said, and there shall be like people like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doing. The last verse, but they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase because they have left off. Because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. They're doing what they want to do. You know, I mentioned the priest because the scriptures say priest, and the religion that has, the doctrine of the religion that has priests is the Catholic, but I ain't picking on no one, and you could find wrong in every spectrum. Catholic priest is not the only leaders of God that has been taken down. Baptist, full gospel, evangelistic, international. You know, you could go on and you could pick any denomination, you could pick any religion, and you could find some error in names with it. You see, the cause of name problem is a lack of knowledge. It does not stem from the shortage of knowledge, but rather from rejection of the information. And what I was talking about earlier, and I knew I had something that I wanted to pinpoint at a certain point. You see, we all have far more knowledge of what is right to do than we do. I pray you got that. We all have knowledge of right and wrong, and we haven't achieved it yet. Now, grant you, many things we used to do, we don't do no more. But sometimes there are things that we haven't quite achieved that we know it's right to do, but we keep on praying and asking God to help us in these areas and work on us and circumcise our heart, take the junk out of our trunk, because we live in an evil world and we wrapped in a flesh suit, and where flesh is, sin dwells. And when they're talking about the priests were eager to eat up the sin of the people, you see what the priest was doing, they were urging the people to offer hypocritical sacrifices, ineffective sacrifices for sin. You know, when you came to God, you had to bring something that was without spots and blemish. But you see, everybody got a side hustle in the world system, and everybody do things to gain in the world system. You see, they would take, and they had probably some battered down animals, and they, people who came for whatever reason without bringing their sacrifice, some people had traveled so long to get there to be able to present their sacrifice. You know how sometimes you go out of town, you say, I'm not going to get that till I get in town. So that could have been the attitude of some people. So when they got there, they needed a sacrifice to be presented to God. But the priest was in cahoots with people who had animals that wasn't up to par, and yet the priest, the people would buy the not-so-good animal, definitely not perfect, ones that probably had spots and blemishes on them. They would purchase that animal to use for a sacrifice. And you see, when they got to the priest could have turned them around. You know how a long time ago, I can remember this, when you used to get driver's license, the people at the DMV were so crooked, they'd give you a driver's license without taking a test. Come on, y'all. And they got all that kind of stuff going on today. I'm not as familiar with the things today as I was then, because that's where the mindset was. And I'm talking long time ago, way over 50 years ago. But what these priests were doing was over 800 years ago. Come on now, y'all. I'm talking about something 50 years ago, more than 50 years, 50-something years ago. And I bet your bottom dollar you could find it today. Nothing new under the sun. But you see, this is what the priest was doing. The priest was encouraging them to sin. You see, the more people sin, the more the priests hate. In other words, receive, the more they gain. And so the sacrifice, the sacrificial meat to make money. Like people, like priests. You know, many times people love to follow their leaders, especially when it fits their agenda. See, people that want white power in the United States of America, they follow the leaders that promote that foolishness. And it's so foolish, but it's real. But it fits their agenda. Come on now. It fits their agenda. You see, then people enjoy sin in excess, and the priest was encouraging it. The Bible says, really, you better watch out for those who teach others to sin. That's like double punishment for your trouble. You see here that there is nothing new under the sun. People using God for profit. When they ate and do not have enough, the scripture talks about, because see, all that they doing, all of the conniving, scheming, all of the greed and evil gain, it ain't going to satisfy them. And half the time, they lose it. And then if God's wrath come, they're going to all suffer the same thing. I don't care how much you got in the bank. It's not going to be able to help you. One of the ways God punished those who followed false gods was to cut off their food supply. That's what he said. You know, he brings famine in the land. So the book of Hosea assures us of God's unconditional love for his people. But it is also a picture of how God is dishonored and angered by the action of his children. So I'm going to ask the question tonight, and maybe you could help me. You could press the one button when we get through if you like. But how can a child who is given such an abundance of love, mercy, and grace treat a father with such disrespect? And I'm talking about God, but they have children and grandchildren that's disrespecting their earthly fathers and mothers the same way. How could these children today, who parents had sacrificed and gave them so much, you know, act like sometime they never knew them? And they're very disobedient to them as well. Yet, we have done just the same for centuries. As we consider how the Israelites turned their backs on God, we need to look no further than the mirror in front of us to see a reflection of those same Israelites at times. If we want to be true to ourselves, and if, you know, if that don't fit you, it's a beautiful thing. And if the shoe fits, wear it. And right now, if you can't say amen, just say ouch and keep moving, because God loves you in spite of and not because of. And God can't love you no more right now than he already loves you. See, that's the love of God. You see, God understands our weakness. He know that we would fail. He know in times we're going to turn and disobey. And that's why as the Israelites, when they failed, he punished them, and then he bestowed his love on them time and time again. That's what God is doing in our life, sisters and brothers. But we all should do our best to learn how to truly love him as he loves us. Only by remembering how much God has done for each of us will we be able to avoid rejecting the one who can give us eternal life and glory instead of hell we deserve. I want you to know tonight, it is essential that we learn to respect our Creator. Hosea has shown us God's heart and loving commitment. When we do sin, if we have a sorrowful heart filled with repentance, then God will bring us back to himself and show us his ever, never ending love. That's our lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns? Anyone could shed some more light on Gomer tonight? Anybody want to talk about the love that God has for his children? And that's our lesson tonight. And I thank God for this time, y'all. I thank God for every opportunity when he let us come together to explore the word of God. And I thank God often for those who call in because you make up the fellowship. God designed that the body of Christ fellowship one with another. And this is just one of the ways in which we do it. So I'm grateful to God for the opportunity, and I'm grateful for each and every one of you who take time out of your schedule and come together on Wednesday night. Pray for me as I pray for you guys. Yes. And at this time, if there's nothing else to be said, I'm going to call our intercessor, and she's going to lead us out in any way that God is going to lead her. Sister Pam.
Okay, my benediction tonight will be coming from 2 Peter 3:18. But on tonight, I'm going to read the English Standard Version. But grow in the goodwill and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory belongs to him now and for that eternal day. Amen.
Amen. Amen, my sister. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, my
Thank
sister.
Thank you so much. If anyone has anything they would like to say, we still have time. If not, we're going to end our Bible study for tonight. But if it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back again on next Wednesday night. And I know the Holy Spirit will meet us here. And whatever word he has given me to give to you, he's going to illuminate it and revelate it and reveal the truth of his word and the intended purpose why it was written for all who would be in attendance. So until then, go in peace. Have a great night rest. And we'll meet you back on Wednesday night. But until then, be blessed and good night.